88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. I'm going to talk a little fashion with our fashion guru, Zoe Washington Chef. She is a stylist, a fashion editor, and the CEO of the fashion consulting company called Little Bird. She is a regular contributor here on Maryland Morning. Hey, Zoe. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So there are a couple of things. Fashion Month, which actually sort of, I guess, spans a couple of months, February and March. It's when all the designers, you know, give their new stuff. But the calendar of fashion appears to be changing pretty dramatically.
It used
to be Fashion Month really defined when stuff would be available and come out. That's not the case so much.
No, it's weird because as a member of the industry, it used to be, okay, here comes Fashion Week, and now here comes Fashion Month, and then there's all these in-between seasons. There's resort, there's holiday, there's pre-fall. And after a while, you feel like you're always going to a fashion show, which is kind of odd. And really, it's because designers are having to keep up with the demand of consumers. Consumers are wanting more and more content. They're wanting more and more specialty items. They want more and more new deliveries. And so a lot of designers can't keep up with that. And what they're doing now is taking back the runway in a lot of ways. So they are changing what they're presenting during Fashion Week. Typically, when you go to Fashion Week, as an industry insider, what you're seeing is what's going to be in stores 6 months down the road. But what they're doing now is that they're showing what's going to be in stores in the next couple of weeks, in the next month, to really galvanize off of the momentum that they get from the marketing opportunity of Fashion Week. Fashion Week has really become this huge marketing conglomerate with a lot.
And there's a whole bunch of, we should make clear, there's a whole bunch of places that have fashion.
Yes,
New York, Paris.
It's London, it's Paris, it's Milan, but now it's Berlin, now it's Australian Fashion Week, now it's Toronto. It's absolutely everywhere. And it's very difficult for designers to keep up with that kind of demand, and they really want to take back their message. And so, you know, when they do a runway show and somebody's sitting front row and tweets or Instagrams a shot of that dress that's the Hallmark dress of the collection, that immediately makes it available to consumers, and that trend is immediately picked up by companies that do knockoffs, fast fashion retailers. And then by the time it actually trickles into the store, consumers are tired of the trend.
Yeah, because if it takes 6 months for that dress to actually get in a store, by that point it's like yesterday's news.
By that point it's yesterday's news, and consumers are unwilling to pay full price. So in efforts to really address three issues, one, knockoffs, two, full price offerings, and three, you know, galvanizing that momentum they get off of the marketing opportunity that is Fashion Week, they've now switched it up. So it's only marketing.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a little counterintuitive in a way, because you would think that designers would not want to contain everything in a 4 or 6 week period.
Right.
That it'd be better for them to have stuff coming out on a continual basis throughout the year. I mean, it just expands the market.
Exactly.
But maybe they just can't produce the stuff fast enough.
Well, I think it's they can't produce the stuff fast enough, but also, you know, people put a lot of pressure on, especially major design houses, to come up with the next big thing, the next best-selling bag. And these are fashion designers who are based solely on inspiration. So who can have that sense of creativity and inspiration and also take into account what consumers want and need? You can't really do that on a weekly basis.
That's right. You guys.
Yeah.
I will be inspired every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't work like that. Zoe Washington Chef, she's a stylist and fashion editor, the CEO of the fashion consulting company Little Bird. We're talking fashion here on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. There's another fascinating thing that happens. It's happening more and more from what I understand. And this is like, I guess you call them subscription fashion services.
Yes.
I mean, I know there are companies like, you know, you can have a dozen roses sent to you every month.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, a case of wine sent every month, you know, or a box of chocolate. But you can do that with clothes, too?
You can do it with clothes. Yeah. It's been around for about a couple of years, I'd say. Models like Stitch Fix is a good example, where every month you get, for a low, low price of maybe $49 or $29 a month, you get a box of curated items that are selected by their sort of in-house stylists. You answer a lot of questions. They get a sense of your style. And they send you things that are a little bit outside your box. They're sending you things that are in your comfort zone, all in order to add a little variety to your wardrobe. Because they're seeing that, A, fashion and tech can go hand in hand. And B, people are really interested in trying new things. And they like to do it when they feel like there's some sort of a curated element to it, that somebody has taken the time to really walk them through the process. process and has given them the stamp of approval that this is okay. You can wear fuchsia.
And every month you get a bunch of clothes. Now, do you have to keep them?
You don't have to keep them. Depending on the company, what they do is, okay, you get a bunch of clothes. Maybe you have a couple of days to try it out. And if you really like it, you can keep it. And then you might pay an additional fee for that one or two items. And then everything else you send back. So let's say you pay the flat rate of $39 a month or something, and you get a jacket in the mail and you really like it, you might have to an upcharge of $40. So technically, you haven't paid that much for the jacket, but you've paid more than your traditional $39 a month.
But you have the convenience of it showing up on your doorstep.
It's showing up to your doorstep. It fits you more or less. And, you know, it's unique. And I think that that's very attractive for a lot of people. A lot of friends that I know who are doing these models, their only frustration, I think, is that after a while, if you're really not feeling into it, or you feel like you're consuming a lot, you feel like you're just getting so much stuff and your closet is bursting, you can stop it at any time. So it is convenient, and it is a great way to marry fashion and tech.
Yeah, because at once a month, your closet could be bulging pretty quickly.
Yeah, and on the other side of that are people like myself who really have like five items of clothing. So, you know, I just prefer to just spend a lot of money on five items of clothing and keep and wear them until they fall off.
Right, I'm like you. I have a very full sock drawer.
Yeah,
you know, that's I don't need any of those.
Exactly.
But you know, there are these operations like Rent the Runway, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people, women mostly, buying dresses. You know, for one occasion, they wear it and then they send it back. But Rent the Runway literally is a rental thing. They don't expect you to buy it.
No, they don't expect you to buy it. And that Rent the Runway has been around for quite a bit. But what's interesting about them is that they've been trying for a while, unsuccessfully, to get involved in this sort of everyday wear competition. So they have Rent the Runway every day, where that you get that wardrobe for, you know, your office or for casual wear, and then send back what you don't like. But I think that their understanding of the special occasion market is unparalleled.
Mm-hmm. So, but that's interesting. Maybe they're kind of getting trapped in that. I mean, it was a great idea when it first started, because I know the women I've talked to who've used it think it's terrific.
Oh, it's terrific.
Because you just hate to go out and, first of all, spend a whole lot of money on a dress that you know you're not going to wear more than once or maybe twice.
Exactly.
And so many young women in particular now asked to go to these destination weddings.
I mean, exactly.
They spend a lot of money on the
money.
Airfare and all this.
No,
the dress
it's
is
so
only
much
part
money.
Of it.
And I think the issue with Rent the Runway every day is the idea that maybe you don't really want to rent your suit or rent the clothes that you get every month. That is taking a little bit longer to stick. So I think they're trying to go back to the kitchen and rearrange some things so that it can be more appealing to the average consumer.
With this thing with curated clothes that show up every month, mm-hmm. doesn't that kind of take the fun out of shopping? I mean, isn't the idea of shopping
well,
as an
experience? Well, that's assuming that most people think shopping is fun.
Yeah.
You know, most people I know don't necessarily love the experience of going shopping, and they feel a little clueless and overwhelmed because, as we just said, every time you turn around, there's a new delivery and a new trend and a new this, that, and designer, and it's overwhelming, especially if you're not in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let somebody who is in the industry, who's keeping tabs on this kind of stuff, somebody like you, who's really, you know, on top of it, say, okay, you would look great in this, or you might not have thought of this, but you should try it.
Exactly.
Yeah, kind of fun. It's all about meeting the needs of the
consumer. Meeting the needs of the consumer.
All right. Oh, well, Zoe, always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll see you.
You
soon. Zoe Washington Chef, she's a stylist, a fashion editor, and the CEO of a fashion consulting company called Little Bird. She is a regular contributor here on Maryland Morning. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show is produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill. Lauren Ferguson is our intern. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. Coming up Monday morning, Sherry Parks and Phoebe Stein on creating a narrative for Charm City, Eddie Glaude on his new book, Democracy in Black, plus novelist John Irving. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.